Our reading for Thursday, June 18th, begins in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age, or of the rulers of this age, who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But, as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are all folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So here in chapter 2, he does build off of the contrast that he presented in chapter 1 between worldly wisdom and wisdom that comes from God. And so in verse 1 he says, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. Or perhaps the version that you're reading from says that he came not with excellency of speech. During last Sunday's sermon, I talked about identifying false prophets from Matthew chapter 7. And one of the things we talked about was how people can be a slick salesperson, if you will. They can be somebody that's really fun to listen to. They're funny to listen to, but they're a great presenter. They look good. They sound good. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they bring truth. And Paul here says, I didn't come in this attractive eloquence. I came just presenting the facts. I came presenting the truth to you. And so he's getting across to them that I didn't present to you some slick advertising, if you will. I came just giving you the information, and it was up to you to accept or don't accept. Then in verse 2, he said, I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I think all he's really saying there is that's what he brought. He brought the message of Jesus Christ, and he didn't try to convince them by any other means than the simple presentation of the gospel. And of course, that includes the crucifixion of Jesus. Verse 3, I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. There's a couple of different ways I think we could take his words here. One being the persecution that he had been encountering and the dangers that he had at almost every turn. Or we could think about 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 10. When it says, they say his letters are weighty and strong, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech of no account. So we could also take that as him saying that, you know, he wasn't that slick advertiser. In fact, he probably wasn't somebody anybody would come to listen to except for the message that he brought. And I think either one of those fit pretty well. I'd probably go with the latter rather than the first, or perhaps even combining the two together. So verse 4, my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom. In other words, the logical words of wisdom, the way the world would view it, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And so if that wisdom of men was folly to God, then obviously we don't want to engage in that wisdom in order to try to get to God. So you need that spiritual wisdom. Verse 6, yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age, or of the rulers of this age, we're doomed to pass away. So that worldly wisdom passes away, and that worldly wisdom doesn't really stand the test of time. And I think we can even see that even within recent history, that wisdom, according to man, changes based on the whims of man. Verse 8, none of the rulers understood this, otherwise they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. He quotes, "No one, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him." It is not a creation of man, it is not of the imagination of man that we have the gospel of Jesus Christ, the story of Jesus Christ. It came from God himself, and no man could have thought of it, no man would have thought of it. And he says in verse 10, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. So he's using a correlation with us understanding that this Spirit that is within us is that which truly knows our deepest, darkest thoughts, those things that are stored up within our hearts and our minds. Verse 11, who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So this Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, knows the thoughts of God. And he says in verse 12, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. We understand that the revelation we have is by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It is the work of the Spirit to reveal these things to us and to allow us to understand about God through that particular revelation. Verse 13, we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit. So these things, again, did not come from the imagination of man. Man didn't come up with it. Man didn't think it up. It came from the Spirit of God, who knows God the way that only our spirits can. And it interprets spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. Or another way to put that, an alternative translation would be, interpreting spiritual truths in spiritual language, or comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You can't take the carnal and use that to try to understand spiritual things. Yes, there are carnal illustrations we can use to teach a spiritual truth, but it is not carnal wisdom that can understand spiritual things. It must be a spiritual wisdom. So these things that are being imparted are not taught by human wisdom. Verse 14, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. Now he's going back to that contrast that he had from chapter 1. The ones that are embracing the wisdom of the world, well, then these things that the Spirit delivers, they seem folly. They are not able to understand them because these things are discerned spiritually. You have to think spiritually in order to discern them. Verse 15, the spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So chapter 2 builds on chapter 1 and gives us a little bit more about Paul stating what he has delivered to them, and how they need to not try to apply carnal wisdom to spiritual things. They need to use spiritual wisdom in order to understand those spiritual things. And we can likewise draw that same application today. So let us think on these things, meditate on these things, that we might benefit from our daily reading. Please be in prayer that God may be with us all.